Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to share the near-death experience of Josiane Antoinette, and this can be found on near-death.com. My near-death experience shattered my world. It shook me into remembering spirit and other dimensions of life, which I had known as a child but had forgotten so that I could fit into society. I feel the jerking of the ambulance as it rushes me through the dark streets of Marseille to the hospital. 24 hours have passed since my underground abortion with a Fusus Danges, an angel maker. Abortion is illegal in France now, and many women die because of the unsanitary conditions of the procedure. I am only 24 years old, a young nurse. Am I dying? Am I outside myself, observing? I see my body and its pain. I look at my feet. They're pale and lifeless. My legs cannot move. My face is white and drawn. I watch as the walls of the ambulance dissolve. I see the lights of the city speed toward me. I can see the stars. What am I doing up so high? Why does everything look so small all of a sudden? Memories pass before my eyes as in a movie. Josiane, this is a little note on the website. Josiane Antoinette momentarily returns to her body. I see family members at the foot of my bed through a haze. Suddenly they disappear. From where they stood, I see faces rushing toward me with incredible speed. They race toward my face, expanding, then dissolving. Face after face washes over me. I'm terrified. I'm drifting. I'm unable to keep my eyes open. Who are these people? Some I recognize as people I've known who have died. Others I do not recognize. Stay away! Where is my family? Now the whole room is filled with spirits. They hover near me and look into my eyes. I try to push them away. I fight them. The experience seems to go on forever. These are spirits who are restless. Their faces are twisted with pain. They seem lost. It's frightening to see them walking back and forth around my bed. And now, spirits with glowing faces come close to me. They reflect a gentle and powerful light, reminding me of the pictures of beautiful angels that I love so much. I feel nurtured and loved by them and enveloped by their luminescence. These beings are made of light, and even though their brilliance is intense, I am not blinded. Tremendous compassionate love surrounds me. Now I'm filled with the essence of love and compassion. This magnetic power is filling every atom of me. I have never before experienced such depth and power of love. I am the power of love, merging into an intimate dance wherein all boundaries have disappeared. I feel myself one with these beings of compassion. No words or sounds are being exchanged, and yet communication is happening. A strong presence assures me, yes, you are dying to the world of men, but to us you are being born. Do not be afraid. You have always been with us. We have always been with you. We know you. You just fell asleep during your time on earth and forgot who you are. Now you are remembering. Revelation fills my awareness. Of course, yes. I am of the beings of light, and they are of me. What is this new surge of energy? It begins as a very gentle vibration, rising through the length of my body, from my feet to the top of my head, and now my whole self is vibrating. I hear buzzing. It's growing louder, and now the vibration and buzzing are becoming one. I feel such a wonderful release. I'm free. I can't resist this new and beautiful tide of energy sweeping my body upward. Now I'm on the hospital room ceiling, gazing down. Everything appears small. I see my bed. My body looks small and colorless. The people around the bed are tiny. Overwhelming grief and sorrow fill the room, and yet I feel completely disconnected from the scene below me. I hover nearer and look at the strange form lying on the bed. I feel compassion beyond words. I understand everything, but I have no feeling of attachment to anyone. I look at each person standing at the bedside and feel tremendous love. I want to say to them, I'm all right. You don't have to worry. I'm all right. Look at me. I'm fine. I am love. I am understanding. I am compassion. My presence fills the room. I now feel my presence in every room in the hospital. Even the tiniest space in the hospital is filled with this presence that is me. I sense myself beyond the hospital, above the city, even encompassing the earth. I am melting into the universe. I am everywhere at once. I see pulsing light everywhere. Such a loving presence envelops me. I heard a voice say, life is precious, is a precious gift to love, to care, to share. Questions race through my awareness. Why is there so much pain in the world? Why are humans made of different colors? Why with different creeds? Why with different languages? A vision appears. I see our world from the vantage point of a star or another planet. Earth appears as a sphere cut in half. The surface of the planet is flat and colorless. The ground is bare. No living plant grows from the earth. Tree branches are naked. There are no fruits, no flowers, no leaves. The barren hills are obscured behind a gray veil. It is a passionless place where no one rejoices at the sunrise. No one knows when the night comes. Naked phantom-like people stand on what seemed to be a stage. All of the actors are puppets animated by an invisible force. They move in unison and stop all at once. On one side of half of the sphere, a sun attempts to shine upon the stage, but no one pays attention or makes a sound. Even the birds in the dead trees are silent and motionless. The other side of the half of the sphere is darkness. I watch as the darkness grows with frightening speed and covers the whole planet. No one pays attention. Now the darkness covers the sunlight, and now it covers all the bright planets in the universe. This is the world with the absence of light, love, and free will, the love states. It is the people's choices that created the world you have just seen. With these words, the nightmarish world begins to dissolve and is replaced by the other half of the planet, a place of vibrant, breathtaking beauty. I perceive how the earth, sun, the moon, the darkness, the light, the planets, and all forms of life, plants, rocks, animals, people, are interconnected. They come from the same source of light. Everything is united by a transparent net or web, and each thread shines with great radiance. Everything pulses with the same luminosity, a magnificent light of unparalleled brilliance. From the light we have come, and to the light we shall return, continues the voice. I realize now I have been standing in the middle of the two worlds. And with this understanding, an image of the path I have been walking appears. It is narrow and rocky. I have the sensation of losing my balance. I grow afraid of falling into the darkened planet. Free will! With the remembering, I gaze at my invisible feet. The narrow path changes into a wide road. The darkness is replaced by light. Never, never forget, I hear the voice say. Merging with the light, I am so overcome with gratitude and overwhelmed by the love that fills me that I cry. Suddenly, time and space are different again, and I am momentarily aware of my body. I am aware that the window to the left of my bed is filled with vibrant, powerful light. It seems to be calling me and pulling me toward it like a magnet. I hear the buzzing again, and whoosh, I'm zooming through the window. I merge with the light. I am the light, and the light is me. From the light we have come, and to the light we shall return, repeats the voice. What a joy to bathe in this incredible, all-knowing, all-loving. I can travel through walls, ceilings, and space at amazing speed. I visit my son Philip, who is only 4. A tremendous power moves me. I am boundless, formless, no longer controlled by my emotions. I am everything. Everything is me. I'm back in the hospital room. A mist coming from the door facing my bed attracts my attention. In the middle of the vapor is a being with the most heavenly smile. Jean-Pierre! It is my cousin, Jean-Pierre! I am overwhelmed with joy. As I gaze at Jean-Pierre, the hospital room disappears. We are suspended in midair. There are no windows or doors, no ceiling or ground. A brilliant radiance fills all space. He slowly approaches my bed and bends to kiss me. I feel the moisture of his lips on my face, the weight of his body against mine, the gentle touch of his hands on me. Jean-Pierre is the brother I never had. After a long and painful battle with lung cancer, he died 2 years ago when he was only 22. I am still grieving at his passing. How wonderful to see him again! And what is this? He's wearing his butterscotch jacket! This jacket has been the subject of many discussions. He loves it. I hate it. How did you know I was here? My question is a thought, not yet put into words, as Jean-Pierre answers. We know everything about you, and we welcome you. Such a warm feeling of peace. I am complete, whole. I am free of pain and fear. There is no past or future. Everything is. There is no need to speak, to be understood, or to communicate. I feel serenity beyond anything I've ever known, and joy of joys. I can fly. I swirl easily with great speed around my cousin in a playful way, expressing the ultimate joy that is me. Everything is the way it should be. Never have I felt so clear, so complete, so loved. I gaze at myself. I am whole and healed. I can interact and play with Jean-Pierre with my natural vigor. Familiar beings of light are here too. I immerse myself in their loving presence. It's as if they are protecting me and carrying me. We are all interconnected. I relax into the timeless joy. What a glorious feeling. I want to be here forever. Jean-Pierre is gazing at me now as the other beings begin to depart. His dark eyes are filled with great tenderness and purity. He turns to leave with the others, and I plead with him to take me with him. His eyes fill with sadness. Not now, he responds. There is much, much work for you. You have to go back and tell them. Life is a precious gift. Each moment is filled with great opportunities. Don't waste your time on earth. Spread love and understanding. We will always be with you, guiding you, protecting you, awaiting the time when we will be reunited, when your work on earth is over. I watch as Jean-Pierre dissolves into the same brilliant light with which he had entered. The light is fading away too. The room is empty now. My grief is intense. I start to cry out of desperation and loneliness. Suddenly, I'm back in the hospital, in bed. I am fully aware of my surroundings and my physical state of being. Tubes are implanted in my body. The pain is overwhelming. My sadness is intense. I am so weak, I cannot speak. I have lost my voice, and the doctors are alarmed by the tears which are using up the strength I need to recuperate. Crying is all I want to do. My body feels like a suit that is too tight. The room is confining. The smell of sickness surprises my senses. The human condition saddens me. Josiane, you're back. I recognize my sister's voice. I see her careful gaze. You've been in a coma for 3 days. We didn't know if you were coming back. That's the end of the account by Josiane. There is a little quote here by her. She says, from the light we have come, and to the light we shall return. You know, I'm struck in this account by the interesting way that the, well, let me put it this way, that, you know, the sad thing with near-death experiences is that they all, almost all, end, you know, they're not a happy ever after ending. The happy ever ending only happens for those who don't return to tell their story. You know, the coming back, it's like they're back in the physical. It hurts. It's painful. The grief returns. Everything is just like weak and pain and suffering and sadness. Welcome home, or welcome back, you know. It's like, Josiane, you're back. And she's probably like, oh, I'm back, you know. And probably loving her sister, but back in the physical, that's rough. Josiane's got a beautiful writing style. I mean, did you catch that poetic? You know, at first I wasn't so sure about the first person present tense nature of it. I'm often not, it's not that I'm not a big fan of it, it's just that not many people can pull it off very well, but Josiane does a beautiful job. You know, first person is very common. I did this, then I went there. But saying I am here and I am there and I am doing this, it's kind of hard to pull off. But when it's done well, it comes out really nice. And she does a beautiful job. She just nails it. I mean, the whole thing feels like I'm reading a poem or something, or a monologue of some kind. But the things that she talks about are very interesting. The thing that really sticks out to me is the oneness that she has with everything. It's like her boundaries are expanding outward. At first she's like, well, there's no boundaries. And then she's realizing those no boundaries are getting less and less boundary-like, you know. So her being outside of the body is, you know, breaking of a boundary. Outside of the room, she's the whole hospital, and she is the, you know, all these things. And this comes back to the discussion of the intelligent consciousness. Some people might call it the intelligence. And this, again, is total speculation on my part. I have not seen confirmation of this from near-death experiencers. But it really appears, from what many near-death experiencers talk about, that there is a threefold, or maybe morefold, threefold nature to our existence, that there is the body, there's the spirit, and there is the intelligent consciousness that can be independent of the spirit. Now, how that works and how, you know, we kind of have some vague idea by now how the spirit and the body are interconnected and yet can be separated. We kind of get that. I think we've exposed our minds to that process or that possibility long enough that we're comfortable with the idea, even though we still have quite a ways to go with understanding how, you know, the mechanics works and so forth. But if I'm right about there being a difference between the spirit and the intelligent consciousness, then this may be an example of where she is in her intelligent consciousness state without even a spirit body for a time. That seems to happen sometimes. And it seems when people talk about merging with the light and becoming, you know, when they're standing before the light and they're getting all knowledge and they drift into it and suddenly they feel like they are the universe, they are the tree, they are the rock, they are the whatever. It seems in those situations that they may be exiting their spirit, if it's even exiting, maybe it's not something that exits or enters like the spirit enter the body. I don't know. Maybe it's more like a signal, or say like a Wi-Fi. You know, one's Wi-Fi and the other's the computer that uses the Wi-Fi. You know, and the computer being the spirit. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. Again, this is all. I wouldn't even say speculation, because it's not like I think this is the case. Just it makes sense that this might be what is being explained here, or that this could be a potential explanation for what people are experiencing. But this seems to be the case. If that is the case, this seems to be one of the situations where that's happening, because she says, let me go to that. She says, I feel such a wonderful release. I'm free. I can't resist the new wonderful tide of energy sweeping my body upward. Now I'm on the hospital room gazing down. Okay, she's in the spirit there. Everything appears so small. I see my bed. My body looks small and colorless. Okay, talking about people, grief, whatever going on around her. She says, I hover nearer. Look at the... Okay, no, yeah. I understand everything. That's not the one I'm looking for. There we go. She says, my presence fills the room. And now I feel my presence in every room in the hospital. Even the tiniest space in the hospital is filled with this presence that is me. She says, I sense myself beyond the hospital, above the city, even encompassing the earth. I am melting into the universe. I am everywhere at once. I see pulsating light everywhere. Such a loving presence envelops me. Now, if you're in a spirit form, even, you know, the kind of spirit that can walk around in landscapes and swim in beautiful oceans and you know, reach out and touch flowers and so forth, as many do in the spirit form, in spirit world, then how can you melt into the universe? How can you encompass the earth? And yet that's what she's experiencing. Now, is it that she is tapping into the Wi-Fi, so to speak, this oneness that is that everything is? Well, obviously, to some extent, that seems to be the case. But is this actually her encompassing the earth, or is she simply becoming aware of that oneness with the earth? I don't know. But it's worth exploring. It's worth thinking about. And some people in these kinds of things just kind of say, oh, it's too confusing for me. I'm just shutting my brain off at this point. That's fine. If you want to shut your brain off at this time, that's fine. I want to explore it, and I love to explore it. And I'm not saying by this that this is the way things are, but I do want to, because, I mean, clearly, that it hardly even makes sense, but a lot of this doesn't make sense, and sense doesn't seem to be a factor here when it comes to what people have experienced and what's happening in so many near-death experiences, which is why they keep saying it's ineffable. It's ineffable. There just aren't words to describe. There just aren't words to express what's going on. But if we try, if we allow our brains to go, okay, well, that hurts my brain to think about it, but I'm going to let my brain think about it a little bit. Maybe we can get to the point one day as a society where we can discuss these things in a manner that makes sense. Now, I did want to touch on another thing. When her experience starts, it doesn't start as a pleasant one. And yet it quickly becomes a pleasant one after a bit. But she's having this strange experience. And is this hallucination? Or is this, you know, maybe some earthbound spirits trying to take advantage of the situation? There seems to be, at the moment of death, something of interest to spirits who are bound here. Could it be because there's a body that's still alive and the spirit has left it for a time and they're interested in that body? Or are they interested in a new arrival and trying to, you know, bring them over just in some way? I don't know. I don't know what that is, but she's in the midst of the side effects of an abortion, and they're killing her. So she may be in a state of emotional turmoil from the abortion as well, which may explain some of the unpleasantness of her beginning experience. First, she's seeing family members at the foot of her bed, which I think are the physical people who are there in the body. And she says, suddenly they disappear. And from where they stood, I see faces rushing toward me with incredible speed. They race toward my face, expanding, then dissolving. Face after face washes over me. I'm terrified. I'm drifting. I'm unable to keep my position or keep my eyes open. Who are these people? She says. So some of them I recognize as people I've known who have died. Others I do not recognize. Stay away. Where's my family? She shouts out. Whole room's filled with spirits. And then it seems that there come forward these angels amidst these spirits that provide this nurturing, loving feeling that she's able to relax into. So is this a negative experience based in the body, such as hallucinations, or something? Is this, spiritual beings trying to take advantage of a situation? That's not clear, but it's possible. And, maybe one of these times we can have more discussion about spirit possession, because, as in being possessed. Because I think there's some things to that I think are worth bringing up, especially to this audience who is probably interested in spiritual things and maybe interested in, what mediums may have to offer in terms of speaking with people from the other side. But you got to be careful, because there is that possibility of spiritual possession. And from a biblical standpoint, it sounds like this most terrifying, horrible experience, like a devil taking over you. And yes, it can be that. And there's also the level of where somebody with maybe not malicious intent, but maybe somewhat selfish intent taking possession, and that can be just as frightening for the individual. And so in no case do I recommend anything that could open the way to possession. But, in this case, it sounds like she's not trying to, invite anybody in or do anything to invite anybody in, but they may be coming. I don't know. Or maybe it's just, dream instances. She's been in a coma. Maybe it's a little bit of a nightmare that's blending into her experience of leaving the body, which, as we've talked about, seems to be a possibility in some cases. Your dream mind, as it's, it's part of your brain, I think. It's safe to say that dreams in general are part of the brain, and yet there can be a blur between spirit and dream experiences. And so, anyway, kind of interesting that. I do find it beautiful, the description that she gives of her feelings and experience meeting with Jean-Pierre, her cousin, who was very dear to her, the brother that she never had. And it's interesting that she says, I feel the moisture of his lips on my face, because he comes and kisses her on the face. And she feels that moisture. She feels the weight of his body against hers, and the gentle touch of his hands on her. That reinforces to me that in the spirit form, when you are separated from the body and fully in the spirit form, you're still feeling spiritual things as physical things. That seems to be the case. And in case there's question about that out there, that this is evidence toward that, a data point, if you will, that suggests, again, this possibility of a physicality or physiological sensation about the physical, about the spirit body and the spiritual realm. Feeling water, touching a person, smelling and tasting and feeling the sensations of the body, but in spirit. which I find fascinating. Fascinating. So, if you would like to contact the podcast with a question, with an experience of your own, or just a comment, you can do that by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com or by calling 970-NDE-CAST, and that will give you a 3-minute message. If that's not long enough, just call right back and continue your message as many times as it takes. And once again, thank you, all of you, so much again for listening.